Good evening. I'm filling in for Steve tonight because Steve got some type of stomach virus, unfortunately. So I pray that he heals quickly, and God willing, he'll be back this Sunday to continue his series on that he's been working on. Well, tonight we're going to talk about godly wisdom. Now, I prepared this lesson. It's supposed to be a five-week series for the Upper West Manhattan Church of Christ, but unfortunately, I never got to deliver it because I moved to Kingwood, Texas. So I condensed it to one night. Does anyone need a lesson? Now, in the Bible, wisdom's always God-oriented and very practical, and it's not entirely coexisted with knowledge. You know, I've shared it with someone that at one time I did a homeless ministry in New York City, and I've met people living out in the streets, literally eating garbage, who were ex-judges, ex-surgeons, ex-lawyers, ex-engineers. And these are very bright people. I was so surprised having these conversations with these people, but they had intellectual knowledge, but they did not have godly wisdom. And they let their lives tumble down through drugs, through the way they lived their lifestyle, and just ended up literally living in the streets. And I'm talking about guys with, you know, PhDs, and I talked to one man. He just blew my mind. He had like a triple PhDs in mathematics, in biology, and I think one was in agriculture. And this is a guy literally living in the streets. So he had worldly knowledge. He had intellectual knowledge, but he didn't have biblical wisdom. And that's what I'd like to talk to about you guys, with all of you tonight. Turn with me to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, let's read verse 7 to start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's go on to verses 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive one, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. We'll stop there. Does anyone have a Webster's definition of wisdom? Okay. According to Webster, it's the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise, the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. But what does the Bible say about wisdom? You know, I wrote this down because I read a pretty good book by Maurice Meredith, and he wrote down that wisdom enables one to turn every good thing in life to its rightful purpose. It is something more than wit, shrewd common sense, or even worldly prudence. It is something more than intellectual excellence, in that it implies a spiritual and moral quality of heart, will, and life, and is the practical application of knowledge to its best ends. In other words, it's knowledge based on God's word, It's knowledge based on godly living. You know, the Bible always defines wisdom in terms of one's relationship with God rather than formal education or attainments before men. You know, worldly wisdom is knowledge apart from divine revelation, and it's often God opposing in nature. True wisdom is the ordering of one's life by God given counsel. Now, when I was younger, I used to take a lot of counsel from very, very, very misled people. You know, I had a guy who was a friend in the neighborhood. I call him Smoke'em. Because, you know, every time I saw him, he was smoking a marijuana joint. And he saw me there on the step one day contemplating. And he comes, "Hey, Brother Alex, what's wrong? You know, you got to lighten up. You know, you got a short life here. You know, here, have one of these here. These will help you out. Just relax. And, you know, you got to chill out, man. You know, life is about, you know, just relaxing and not letting problems bother you." And, yeah, well, that led me into Rastafarianism. At one time in my life, you know, I had the dreadlocks, and, you know, I believed Haile Selassie was the reincarnation of Jesus Christ, and it was a sordid lifestyle. And, you know, I shared this with my wife. I'm sharing with you guys for the first time, but I shared this with my wife. I got involved in so many things, and, you know, going out and, you know, getting high, and, you know, one day I woke up in a closet in Long Island. And I couldn't figure out how I got there. And that was like a wake-up call. I wasn't even a Christian then. But that was a wake-up call for me to say, hey, you know, I can't live my life this way. You know, I got lucky. Next time, I might wake up in a ditch, dead. But I got lucky. I woke up in a closet, some lady. It's a long story, but and then getting home from there. But that taught me a real good lesson. Not to take wisdom for granted, but to take good wisdom from godly people. And I remember this gentleman told me, Alex, if you're going to run with bad company, you're better off walking alone. Now, those were good words of wisdom. And I took heed to them. I took heart to them back then. And I changed my life around. I just dropped smoking the drugs, you know, getting drunk, hanging out with the wrong ladies, hanging out with the wrong fellows. I put that whole crowd behind me. I wasn't a Christian then, but I just took a positive step listening to some good, sound wisdom. So wisdom is very important. Now, wisdom is not something you do, rather it's a way of doing things. Now, wisdom is finding in your own circumstances any specific opportunity to use a proverb and then following through in your actions with what was to you, what was before only a general principle or an abstract idea. The call of wisdom. Let's turn to Proverbs 1:20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. So God tells us to seek his wisdom. God's word shouts out to us, literally, to seek wisdom, to seek doing things his way. Can anybody tell me what is the price for the rejection of wisdom? Be thrown around. And what are the what is the price for acceptance of wisdom? Yes, that is correct. That is one of the prices of not using godly wisdom. Terror and calamity, destruction, living the wrong life, getting involved with the wrong people, getting involved with the wrong circumstances, losing everything you have. You know, I talked to one gentleman, you know, I think this gentleman was a lawyer, and he got hooked on drugs. And through the habit of cocaine, he lost everything he had. He had a beautiful house in the Hamptons, he told me, beautiful wife, 5 children, and he lost all of that just getting involved with drugs, that habit. That's correct. That is correct. That's right. And what is the benefits of accepting that wisdom, that godly wisdom? Knowing the truth. Exactly. My favorite passage is Proverbs 15:24, where it says, "The path of life leads upward for the wise, that he may keep away from Sheol below," which is death, the netherworld. And I think of my past and the way I was living, and I look at this and I say, wow, you know, godly wisdom really does deliver you from Sheol, really does deliver you from death and disastrous results. So, the valley of wisdom. Let's turn to Proverbs 2. Anybody want to read Proverbs 2, 1 to 9? Any volunteer? Sally? Very good. So what do the prophets say about godly wisdom? And if you search for her, like she's seek her like silver. Seek wisdom, godly wisdom, like it's gold, like it's silver, like it's a precious gem, like it's a diamond, like it's a pearl, like it's platinum, like you're holding a $10 million lotto ticket or that's a winner. That's how important godly wisdom is. You seek it, you hold on to it, you apply it in your lives, you practice. And godly wisdom will change your life. It's powerful. Godly wisdom is powerful. You could apply any circumstance, any situation, and walk away using godly wisdom. I was in a situation when I worked in a waste industry in New York where the person was trying to kind of help him sign a contract where he will be just in control of this area here, you know, in the Bronx. Well, that's antitrust, you know. You get involved with something like that, you know, you're going to be dealing with the FBI, the Justice Department, or the Attorney General. So what I did, I told him I can't talk with you anymore and walked away. And when I went to my supervisor and told him what happened, he said, "You did the best thing in the world. That's exactly what you're supposed to do in a situation like that. You walk away. You protect your integrity, and you protected the integrity of the company." He said that was using very good wisdom there. Those were his words. So godly wisdom works. In every situation, you use godly wisdom. Anybody else have any thoughts? You're right. You're absolutely right. You know, if you look out in the world, you can see they have no wisdom, but they have no fear of God. You think about that. They absolutely have no fear of God. They have no fear of the consequences. They have no fear of what it's going to cost. They have no idea of the price they're going to, the heartache and the cost to their family, to their mate, to their coworkers, to their associates, because they don't have godly fear. They have no fear of God. They're out in the world. They have worldly wisdom, which thinks that they think that they know every trick in the book, how to get over people, how to trick everyone, but they're only tricking themselves. They're only fooling themselves. You can't fool God. God is omnipotent. He sees all and he knows all. We're finite, but God is omnipotent. Sometimes, even Christians sometimes forget that. But we always have to remember, God sees all and knows all. And we have to ask ourselves sometimes when we're doing something, about to do something, use godly wisdom to say, you know, what would God think of me if I did something like this? You know, what will God think if I say this to my mate and I get angry, say this to my boss or another Christian or a coworker? You know, I always think about that before I open my mouth now. I say, you know, is it proper? You know, is it wise? Or is it wiser to just keep your mouth shut sometimes? And sometimes it really is wiser to keep your mouth shut and let your anger subside before you say something you're going to regret. And that's all part of Proverbs. You can read in Proverbs, you know, it's better to say nothing sometimes and keep your peace. All right. Mark, can you read? We're going to look at the security of wisdom. Can you read chapter 2, 10 to 22? Very good. So how does wisdom keep one secure and protected? Keeps us from taking advice too from bad-hearted people or things that are not wise. You know, when someone gives you advice or an idea or practice, you have to measure it to God's word. Does it make sense? Is it godly? I know so many people reading this passage that Mark just read who've gone down the path of perversity of evil. You know, I had a friend that he basically lost his wife and his family, and he just took bad advice from bad people, his so-called friends. And, you know, he got caught doing something he's not supposed to, and his friend says, well, if you do what I say, everything will work out just fine. But his wife is very wise. She didn't fall for it, and it was disastrous. So we take advice and measure it to godly wisdom, to God's word. That's always an indicator. Absolutely. 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 I mean, from those who leave the path of their rightness, they walk in the ways of darkness, right? Keeps us from walking in the dark. Always keeps us walking in the light. Now, there are rewards of wisdom. Let's turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. And we'll read verses 13 to 18. Proverbs 3, 13 to 18. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. So what are some of the rewards of wisdom? There you go. Long life, right? You know, imagine if Alex Urania continued his lifestyle back in New York when he was much younger. I wouldn't probably be standing here before you, talking to you about Proverbs. God only knows what I would be or what would have happened to me if I would continue living that way. But wisdom, using godly wisdom, delivered me from that lifestyle. Correct. And it's simple, it's pure, but it's highly effective. It's nothing complicated. You ever notice, take Bernie Madoff. Remember Bernie Madoff just schemed $50 billion, you know, from all these investors with his Ponzi scheme. Very elaborate plan, very complicated, you know, it's all these numbers, hidden figures. It's highly convoluted. You have to be a mathematician to figure out exactly what these derivatives that he was having his money invested into. But look at God, the simplicity of godly wisdom. If he would have just done with the money what he was supposed to do, keep it simple, right? And invest the money where it's supposed to, a lot of people wouldn't be in a mess. You know, I know several guys who, the Carpenters Union in New York was invested heavily with Bernie Madoff, and they lost all their money. So I know guys who are retired, getting pensions of like $4,000 to $5,000 a month. Those pensions dwindled down to $200 a month, $100 a month. Some people got nothing. Some people got $50 a month. Some people got $25 a month. So what he did affected a lot of people. You know, you should see the headlines, but when you meet people who are actually affected, you really get to see, you know, how personal it becomes. Rocky? Christ died at 30, right? He didn't live a long life, but on earth, but he's eternal, we know. You're right, Rocky. Thank you. Let's turn to our Proverbs 9, the way of wisdom versus the way of folly. Proverbs 9, 1 through 18. Anyone like to read it? Proverbs 9, 1 to 18. Thank you. So to whom do wisdom and folly both call out and summon? In other words, what does each individual have to offer us? Very good. So does he mention the wise man here as well? That's correct. Does that mean if you have godly wisdom, does that mean you know it all? No one knows it all, right? Only God knows it all. You know, verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in his learning. So as Christians, who do we get our knowledge from inside God's Word? More experienced Christians. Christians who've been in a walk a lot longer than we have. Elders. Sometimes I talk to some of the older ladies who've experienced life much more than I have. And they have a lot to offer. You just give an attentive ear and listen. They have a lot to offer, some of the older gentlemen. I learned quite a bit just sitting down and just listening. You know, depending, I've talked to some people when I was in New York, you know, who survived Rwanda, the genocide out there in Africa. You know, how do you feel to just sit down and just watch your whole family executed, and yet they're still strong with the Lord, they still love Christ with all their heart and with all their soul. And sometimes, you know, when talking to these guys, I felt embarrassed. I'm like, wow, you know, here are these guys, you know, giving me wisdom how to live my life. And they've gone through so much in life. And compared to what I've gone through in life, it's nothing. You know, how would I react if I saw my whole family executed? You know, would I be open to wisdom? You know, I ask that question, but I always know God doesn't bear upon us more than we can take. I do believe that with all my heart, that God is very merciful. He knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. And he always gives his godly, his wisdom, and is omnipotent. He always gives us a way out. And it's up to us to use wisdom and take it. Now, God's relation to wisdom, let's look at verses 19 to 20. That's correct. Let's go to Proverbs 3. That's right. Solomon was the wisest man. And yet, didn't he heed God's warning and married women with all these different religions, and he built temples for all these different gods, and it displeased God greatly. So even if you have good sense of godly wisdom on you, you can always falter if you're not careful. So always stay humble and always seek God's word. Let's look at Proverbs 3. I'm going to read just 19 to 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies dripped with dew. Can anyone describe God's relationship with wisdom? And what does it tell us about the source for acquiring such wisdom? That is correct. That is correct. Mark? Oh, you're raising your hand? Okay. Rocky? Okay. So, what is wisdom in your own words? You know, I was caught a program the other night. It was on astronomy, and these astronomers just discovered there in the universe there are specific places where there are black holes. And these black holes, but they don't understand. They say for some reason these black holes are there, and they keep the whole universe spinning in order. They keep every galaxy completely shaped and formed. And when I was watching this, I said, wow, they just can't recognize that we have an awesome God. You know, God is the master engineer that everything, every star, every black hole, everything put out in outer space is put there by God's decree. And it's pretty amazing that, you know, our Earth travels at 500,000 plus miles per hour around the sun. And look at us, we're not flying off our feet, you know, we're not banging our heads, things are not coming all over, you know. This Bible's not flying off, hitting me in the forehead, you know. We're all sitting down. We're not holding on for dear life. You know, that in itself is amazing. That in itself just shows me how powerful and how awesome and how wise God is in his design of his magnificent creation, the universe, our planet, us. Everything we see, the birds, the trees, and his wisdom he created. And that just brings more faith in my heart. amen, but you said the magic word there. If we apply, right? We have to apply it, right? We can't just look at it, read it, and then go off and do whatever we want to do, right? Then we pay the consequences. Am I correct? So we have to use his wisdom. We have it here. You know, we know where wisdom originates, right? It originates from God. You know, if you turn to Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. The word of God. You know, even in our lives, our daily lives, what did Jesus Christ say in Matthew 6:33, right? His wisdom that applies to all of us here. First, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Right? He also tells us, and his wisdom tells us not to worry about tomorrow, but to, you know, worry about the present day. Take care of what you have to do today. Let tomorrow take care of itself. You know, that's a good formula for relieving stress and not, you know, overburdening ourselves with so much worry, right? That's godly wisdom. It's for our own good. Yeah, his whole family slaughtered pretty much, right? That's correct. You know, where would we be? I how would I handle a situation like Job? You know, we're pulling the hairs out of my head. I mean, I don't know. Thank God I haven't been put in that situation. But I hope if I ever have, I'll use godly wisdom to get through the situation. That's right. You know, how is wisdom acquired and what's necessary in our part, right? Read God's word, apply it, practice it, make it a habit. You know, practice it with your family, practice it with your mate, practice it with everyone. Use godly wisdom in everything you do, every decision we make. You know, I try to impart a little wisdom to my nephew, you know, one time, tell him, look, drive that car, you know, it's paid for, you know, it looks like a little bit like a jalopy, but you don't want to put a brand spanking new car in the streets of New York City, you know, especially in the Bronx. Oh, no, uncle, you know, you're square, you know, buys his car and, you know, comes back, you know, doors are missing, the tires are all missing, the front foot's missing. I mean, they stripped the car, they just left it on milk crates, you know. So you got to use wisdom, right? You don't put a nice new car in a bad neighborhood. You know, it's just common sense. You know, I'm out there in the field every day, and somebody gives me a strange address, and I go there, and it doesn't look right. I'm turning around and going the other direction. I'm not going to just risk my life to go into a place that doesn't make sense. You know, I had one guy tell me he wants to see, you know, the regional manager. I drove into the place, and my car is surrounded by all these pit bulls literally biting the tires of my car. And I'm saying to myself, exit stage left, you know, blow my horn to get him out of the way and just drove out of there, get out of Dodge, right? That's just common sense wisdom, you know. Go the other way. You see trouble, you turn around. You know, you see someone that wants to, my wife was with me last week, Oklahoma City of all places. Some guy had a senior citizen of all guys had a road rage incident, and I just tell him, sir, have a nice day, you know. I didn't try to argue. He was like, do you know how to drive that thing? Of course, you know. Even though he was wrong, I didn't even argue with the gentleman, you know. Just turn the other cheek and just say, sir, have a nice day. I'm not going to be disrespectful to anyone, no matter how angry they are. That's using wisdom. Because it diffused the situation. He just, you know, rolled up his window and just kept arriving. Imagine if I would have just stopped there. Hey, you were wrong, and, you know, and just escalate the whole situation. No, you use wisdom. That's all you have to do. Someone has suggested 7 pillars which uphold wisdom. Now, explain each of these pillars and describe what each contributes to wisdom. First one is understanding.
Anyone? Very good. How about this pillar, knowledge? Very good. Prudence. That's right. You ever see people with vendettas, right? They have no prudence. They're all worked up, and the guy they're worked up over, you know, he's sitting down drinking piña colada, you know, or drinking Kool-Aid or lemonade. He's nice and relaxed. His blood pressure is normal, and they're working themselves up to a frenzy because they don't use any godly wisdom. They use that prudence that God asks us to use, that Christ asks us to use above all things. Absolutely right. Thank you, Rocky. Can anyone tell me what shrewdness? Shrewdness, using shrewdness. In other words, like think twice and do nothing. Research it a little more, right? Yeah, you know, I get that all the time. People tell me, you know, I have a project here. You know, I need to complete it in 6 months, and you know I need 2 million pieces of this steel, you know, knob you guys, your company manufactures, and you know, but I need it in 6 months, and I, you know, if I don't use shooting it, I say, yeah, absolutely, send me a PO right away, and meanwhile we can't fill the order for a year. How's that going to look? You know, they're going to think Alex Urena is a, you know, a knucklehead that doesn't know what he's doing. So no, you have to research things, you have to think about it. You have to weigh the cost. Now you gotta be shrewd. Oh, my time is over, guys. Thank you so much for being attentive, for all your answers and participation.